Actually, just by way of introduction, background to this work, when I started to do this work with Alpha, he's a MATLAB user. I've been a Maple user. And so some of the underlying computations he had done and created some code in MATLAB. And since I wasn't familiar with MATLAB, I converted it into Maple. And along the way, we discovered sort of differences between the languages. And I only put this up just to show you. Here's an example of a computational use of Maple. This is matrix analytic method. This is also, I happened to find out that with Maple, I didn't have a Kronecker product built in. I had to code a little subroutine. And you made mention of some data structures or representations that I found were a little awkward, you know, matrix versus vectors versus scalars, and a little awkwardness I found, but that could be just my inexperience.
I thought that MATLAB was based on Maple, and there was
I don't know.
Applied for students, like to,
you know, terrible to say, but I don't know. Right. It's been a long time since I've done any coding in C or Fortran. I'm showing my age. But I found Maple and MATLAB very useful. I've used Maple also for symbolic manipulation. The only thing I find frustrating with it is that the negative signs that come up, and it sometimes doesn't simplify nicely or conveniently. At any rate, that's not what I'm supposed to be talking about. This is work that Alpha and I are working on together. We started very briefly before last year's CanQ, and what we'd done last year was really, really rudimentary and just starting to explore an issue. And we've done a little bit more work and have thought more deeply about what some of the issues are. So I'd like to continue along with the presentation, which is titled Empirical Discrete Distributions in Queuing Models. And this is empirical, as the name implies. So there's very little in the way of notation and so forth. I'm going to talk a little bit about the motivation, a bit about literature review, what we've been doing as ongoing work, and where we see this work going. In particular, we'd like to start writing up a journal paper once we get a few more detailed observations. This whole problem, we began by recognizing as engineers or analysts, when we try to construct queuing models of real systems, we want to validate them using real data. And even at the time of building a queuing model, we need to somehow come up with key parameters describing the system. For example, simply arrival processes, service process, or in more complicated queuing systems, other parameters. The data is usually used to determine these parameters, estimate the parameters, usually through some process of fitting. Often we fit the data to a set of, some selection of known theoretical distributions. While there's a very large literature on the topic of distribution fitting and maximum likelihood estimators, moment fitting, various algorithms that are available, we observe that these fitting mechanisms can involve some fairly involved computational effort and expert judgment, depending on how many moments you want to fit, for example, and what kinds of approximations you want to choose. But what we found so far is that, and we're happy to be corrected if people can point out some literature, but we haven't found a lot dealing with using empirical distributions directly rather than going through a procedure of trying to fit the distributions. There is some material available, which I'll talk about. But as I said, the motivation that comes from an individual, an analyst, trying to model a real-world system, you have some data that you've been able to collect, telecommunications systems, a manufacturing system, you have the data, and you want to build a queuing model to do some performance analysis. So one alternative, very simple alternative, is to use the empirical distributions for example, inter-arrival times and service times directly, as opposed to going through this fitting process. It's very simple, but it's documented in some literature. It's commonly understood that a finite sample will introduce some error in estimating the underlying distribution. For example, what people point out is the tail of the distribution may be missing. There may be some bias in estimated as well in the various moments. So there's some information potentially lost. And the question that we want to ask is, given the weaknesses and strengths of both methods, the errors that might be inherent in the use of an empirical distribution versus the more complex fitting approach that itself has errors and requires expert judgment and a fair bit of computation, we want to look at, given that both methods have strengths and weaknesses, just to carry through in a little more detail whether we can identify when using the empirical distributions produces reasonably good results and when they do not. Now, in the work that we're going to undertake, we've decided to focus on discrete-time queuing models. Many of you know that this is an area that Alpha has worked in for quite some time. And there's natural reasons for choosing discrete-time queuing models. That's not to say they themselves don't have drawbacks, but some of the reasons for using discrete-time queuing models is that many systems are, and they themselves, naturally discrete. So why not leave them in that mode? The data is often collected in a discrete form. Other studies, sometimes you fit it to a continuous distribution and then perhaps for computational reasons convert it back. So why not leave it in its original form? Furthermore, discrete queuing models are sometimes more easier to analyze computationally than their continuous time counterparts, not all the time, and they will sometimes provide much easier algorithmic analysis. I would be in error not to point out that the use of discrete time queues does, of course, have its drawbacks. I think probably the dimensionality aspect, depending on how fine a time unit you define, is one of the drawbacks of using discrete time queues. Recognize that. But if you define the time units appropriately, then a lot of the computational results that are available can be used to be quite successfully capture queuing models in discrete time systems. We are going to focus furthermore on phase type systems. They are convenient to represent and are known to or understood to be able to represent many more general type distributions. So as we start to narrow down our focus, we're going to investigate the use of empirical data for discrete time GI, G1 queuing systems that we're going to approximate by phase-phase systems. We're going to look at single server models, first come, first served, very straightforward systems. Some related literature with respect to fitting data, just as a comment there, fitting data for simple phase type distributions you can do quite easily through commercial software such as BestFit or ExpertFit, simulation languages unlike 15, 20 years ago, didn't have input distribution software. They do now. Arena, so forth, will help you convert data and to recommend distributions. Best Fit and Expert Fit are also other packages to recommend a distributional family and to estimate parameters. Other more complex approaches are available. The 1997 Matrix Analytic Methods, the conference, there was a paper by Lang and Arthur that looked at benchmarking several moment fitting and maximum likelihood estimator methods. Now, I'll point out that this research focuses entirely on the process of fitting. It doesn't take the next step, which is to say, if we use those fitted distributions, how do they predict the queuing system performance? Typically just address the fitting issue. One thing that they have pointed out with respect to these fitting approaches is that some issues arise in their use, which are barriers. The need to have some a priori knowledge of some properties of the phase type distribution. For example, how many phases you're going to represent. What are some of the parameters? So there is some expert judgment involved here. It will not necessarily come back with a broad set of fits. And they also identified some numerical difficulties, computational difficulties that are inherent in the algorithms. So I'm not going to give you a broad review of the fitting techniques themselves. They're widely available. One paper back in the journal predecessor to stochastic models, is one by Johnson that appeared in 1994. And what she was interested in, she had a whole series of papers dealing with moment fitting and using, for example, phase type approximations or representations of G1 queuing systems. And she was interested in the performance of moment fitting approaches, some fairly simple ones like mixtures of Erlang distributions. But why I bring up her work is that some of her work was looking at the performance of two-moment and three-moment fits, but she also took another step in saying, well, if we base those fits on some empirical data, how does that empirical data, when used to do a fit, perform as compared to the original underlying system? So if you go back to some of her work, she is able to characterize when these moment fitting approaches work reasonably well. But what she doesn't do is ask a question of whether, when the data is used directly as opposed to being fitted, how does the empirical distribution perform? In the simulation literature, the use of empirical distributions is generally thought of as an inferior approach in simulation models. It's thought that carrying out the fitting smooths the distribution. It may allow you to generate a wider support because a sample may not include observations in the tail and so forth. So you'll read in the simulation literature, it's generally advisable to carry out a fit in order to construct a good simulation model. There have, however, been a couple of people over the past decade look at how well empirical data does perform, and a couple of observations there that we're finding in our work as well is that the use of empirical data can provide fairly good approximations to, for example, MG1 systems when they're looking at simple performance measures like a mean queue length. Barton and Shrubin have looked at more recently this idea of taking an original sample and sampling from it randomly several times to see whether the resampling improves the performance of the use of empirical distributions, and they did indeed find that that is the case. they recognize, one thing that's interesting that they point out is they recognize that the use of empirical distributions does have some inherent bias in it, but they observe that as compared to fitting, that the results tend to be more consistent. We've observed that too. What do they mean by that? What it boils down to is sometimes when a fit is done from empirical data, a tail that is larger or heavier than the underlying distribution is added, and the result tends to be an overestimation of the entire predicted, the Q-length distribution, and that the empirical approach does not tend to do this, even though it has a bias in it. Simulation does, if we're looking for tools to undertake our study, simulation is one way that we started to look at in terms of being able to compute the actual Q-length distribution. But there are computational methods available, matrix geometric methods, for GIG1Qs that we have actually taken advantage of, as opposed to undertaking simulation studies which have the inherent computational effort of many, many replications and the variability inherent in simulation. So we will use the matrix analytic method to do the computations as opposed to simulation because we have computational methods available. So we start by assuming we're studying a GIG1 system, which we'll refer to the true system or the underlying system. We've taken samples then from inter-arrival and service time distributions for a variety of fairly simple GIG1 systems. And in fact, we've restricted ourselves to some phase type distributions. So when we take the samples, we form empirical distributions, and we assume that this has a support of 1 through n for the inter-arrival times, and 1 through m for the service time. So we have a finite support for both inter-arrival and service times. So then what we do is we approximate the underlying or the true system by the empirical distributions for the inter-arrival and service time distributions. Then what we do is an alternative representation for the system. What we do is to fit the sample data and to fit it to phase type distributions. And we then also represent the underlying system with these fitted distributions. So we've got three different systems we compare. I better move on. The man is telling me I should move on. So we've compared the distributions. This is probably the only bit of notation that I've got here, is the true, fitted, and empirical distributions. The question we ask ourselves is how do we perform, compare the performance of the empirical distribution? Visual inspection of the distributions, comparison of moments, perhaps from the previous discussion we might go, we looked at first moment, second moment, perhaps we should go higher into third and fourth moments. We haven't gone that far yet. We're looking at traffic intensity as well, because we're starting to see results that the performance of the empirical distribution may be impacted by the traffic intensity. We've looked at a variety of different traffic intensities, varying from 50% up to about 90%, because we believe that the sample sizes do affect, sorry, that should be 250, will affect the performance of the empirical approach. We've taken two different sample sizes, and we've replicated each one of the systems that we've looked at 10 times. We sampled inter-arrival times and service time 10 times to see how the empirical approach tends to perform over a wide variety of cases. Just to give you a flavor of the kinds of things we're observing, if this is your Q length, I've truncated at 15. We've actually calculated out up to Q lengths of 100, but I can't display all of that here. This is the probability that the Q length is zero. This is the true distribution. These are two replications where we've computed the Q length distribution for the fitted representation, and this is the Q length calculated using just the empirical distributions directly. So these are two replications to give you some idea that the distributions themselves, when you compare them visually, there are some differences, but they're visually, they're not bad. Now, you've got a bit to digest. These are replications. This is the means. We're trying to capture summary measures of how the three approaches work. Fitted versus empirical, and we compare over all replications. Now, we've used relative error to try and capture how each of these performance measures compares to the true system, and done this for a whole variety of systems. I'm going to skip over this, go on really quickly. What have we observed? Best fit is one approach to do the fitting. It's not the only. The selection of the best can be a matter of judgment because it will often suggest several. It does a goodness of fit test, but there are often several really closely competing fits. This will be true of other fitting algorithms. So far, what we've been able to determine is naturally, I think it's well, we would expect that the performance of both approximation improves, well, actually the performance of the empirical improves as the sample size increases. But so far, what we're observing is that the traffic intensity decreases, we're getting better fits for both. But what we can observe for the empirical is that as the simulation literature indicates, the approximations, the empirical approximations, tend to be more consistent. There is bias, but when the fitting approach adds a tail or misses adding a tail, it tends to do so very badly. We're still working on when we can try and predict when the empirical approach will perform better. The results that we're getting indicate that we need to do more work in how the utilization of the system is going to have an impact on the results, and possibly moments of the inter-arrival and service time distributions. But we're digging further. I didn't want to overwhelm everybody by putting up numbers, massive amounts of numbers, but we're seeing some trends. Where we're going with it is more extensive testing to be able to more precisely indicate when the empirical distributions perform well. I'm very impressed with how well they do perform, actually. We want to look at more complex systems, look at more complex fitting methods as well, because we've really only chosen one. And then ultimately to be able to advise people who construct real models from data.